When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Swing and a long drive, deep left, way back,
gone! All right, welcome back to another week of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. Alongside me, as always, is my favorite Canadian. That is Dylan White. What's going on, man? How are you? Sorry about the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, I thought your favorite Canadian would be Brad Marchand.
No, it's you.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. I'm
Marchand. Come on now.
I'm used to the Leafs. I'm used to the Leafs losing. I think they set some record for it was 8 straight playoff making the playoffs, but only winning one round. And, you know, like cumulatively, is like a record of major league sports: baseball, basketball, wow. Football, hockey. I think it's like the worst since like the Buffalo Sabres in the like early 90s or something like that. But my point is, never had my hopes up. It was nice to go to game 7. Nice to see overtime, but just numb at this point, I guess.
Well, I'm sorry that that's the case. But anyway, all right. Enough about hockey. We're talking baseball. That's why we're here. That's what we know about. That's what the people want to hear us talk about. No news today. We're not going to cut in any of that. Players probably got hurt somewhere. It happens every week. Sorry for your IL. I have one IL, Dylan, that is like an all-star caliber rotation. It's like 5 or 6 great starters in a 30-team league. Musgrove got added to the walking wounded last week alongside, you know, Senga and Molly and McClanahan and a few others. So yeah, it Lizardo. It hasn't been a great go in that league where I had a staff a few years ago that looked pretty dang good. But anyway, we're moving on. Today we are going to dive right into it. We're going to talk 5 prospects each, just sort of 10 total prospects that have had some standout data. I know that Dylan's had some other things. He's had more of an opportunity to dig through some of the fresh data that we've gotten over the last, you know, a few days. And he's got some insights as well to share. So I don't know. Do you want to start with some of that, or do you want to jump into some players first? How do you want to do it, Dylan? What do you say? We're very prepared today.
I don't know. We'll just go back and forth. Like, you can say a player, I'll say a player / team. Spoiler alert. What do you think? Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know what? I'm going to be gentlemanly. I'm going to let you go first.
All right. How do I want to start? So I took a page from the Jeff Ponce book. Your articles are always my favorite ones to read. I'm sure the audience likes them too. The readers like them, where you set your filters and then you figure out who's meeting those thresholds. So I did the same thing. So in high A, it's a trivia question for you, Jeff. Greater than 80% contact rate. So average is around 71, I think. Let me look it up. Yeah, it's around 71%. So contact rate above 80% and a 90th percentile exit velocity above 104, where the average is around 102. 7 hitters are meet those thresholds. Just those two thresholds, 80% contact, 104 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity. There's only one player of those seven that has a chase rate under 20%. And that is, do you know?
I don't. He's
a Great Lake Loon for the Dodgers, Alex Freeland.
Ah, and old like Alex Freeland.
Old Alex Freeland. Yes, he's 22. He played. Let me just read my notes here. Last year he played shortstop. He plays a very pretty good shortstop. This year he's playing about a third of the time at third. So two thirds shortstop, one third third. He's a plus accurate arm, so it should work there. It looked like he was going to be a shortstop anyway. He looked like he could play it. So he'll probably be an elite third baseman. Of anyone in high A with at least 60 plate appearances, he has the highest WRC plus at 208. And he has 110 plate appearances. Like, he crushes that threshold of minimum plate appearances. He has 25% walks, 14% strikeouts. His barrel rate is over 20% as well. Alex Freeland is number three right now in high A on RoboScout as of yesterday's games, behind Carter Jensen and Cam Collier. And that's even by being 22 years old, which is he gets dinged for that because guys like Collier, 19, Carter Jensen, 20, guys like that have an advantage in RoboScout. But Alex Freeland, I was surprised at how I knew his Statcast was good. It's always been good. He gets the bump in the RoboCast score. But I didn't know when he set the sliders like that. I said 80% contact rate, 104 mile per hour, but he's at 83% and he's at 106.
Yeah.
So it's not just, he's just inching over the line. So I think I talked enough there.
No, I agree. So I'm some familiarity with Freeland. I saw him on the Cape back in, I think, 21 and 22, if I'm not mistaken. I believe he was a draft eligible sophomore and then ended up going back to school at UCF. I have to double check on that one, but he's a guy that, is well known sort of around the circuit, but switch hitter and something that's very encouraging, more of a natural left-handed swing, which is a good thing. You know, if you're a switch hitter, you probably want a guy that's doing it, that's more of a natural lefty than a natural righty, because he's going to see more at bats on the left side against right-handed pitching. The splits are pretty good this year. There's a little bit more power from the left-handed swing, which is fine, but the approach, the contact numbers are still looking good against left-handers as well, though it's a fairly small sample size. Decent size too, 6'2", 200. He's not like a phenomenal athlete, but pretty good one. So yeah, I think overall that's a pretty good call out on your part. So somebody that I've seen a few times as well, so I can speak to it. Saw him play some shortstop. I don't know about the long term. I think you're right, maybe with third base, and the arm is pretty good. So we'll go from there. Another player that was a college guy that was known a little bit, I believe was in the FYPDs last year, kind of a sneaky late round guy if you're in a deeper league. But that is Jonathan Long, is my guy. Third baseman. He's a right-handed hitter, 6 feet, 210. So, some strength, but about average size and athleticism. Third baseman as well. Defensive chops, sort of a question. The stat line doesn't look great right now. Right now he's slashing 229, 326, 712. But I can tell you that the organization is pretty excited about this guy. He's somebody that when I was doing some, reconnaissance work, some reporting on, my updated Cubs list, obviously I'm taking over that list at the moment. He was somebody that had, come up in conversation sort of naturally as somebody to take a look at. And then, lo and behold, we're here taking a look at some of these filters and some of these guys that fall into some of these categories. And he hits a lot of different benchmarks for me. So, like I said, the performance thus far has been a little bit underwhelming. It is the Midwest League. South Bend, it's not necessarily the easiest place to hit, but under the hood, it looks really, really good. And I think the lesson that I learned last year from Roman Anthony is sometimes the slash line doesn't catch up to the skills right away. And, there's some batted ball luck and just some of those things, the way baseball works. But under the hood, miss rate or contact rate overall, just a little bit below 80%. Like, it's 79.7%. In zone miss rate below that 20% threshold that I like to see, and well enough below it that he's at, you know, an 81.7% in zone contact rate, 24% chase, percentage of balls in play. And he has 61 balls in play for this sample that have been 95 plus, 52.7. So more than half of his balls in play. He's got a 112.5 max, and his 90th percentile was just a tad below 108 miles per hour. I think he's really interesting. You know, I think there are solid contact skills there. You know, I think there's certainly solid power there as well. The swing decisions have been pretty good. The biggest question mark with him, though, is just, what's going on with performance and if it's a launch angle sort of thing. On paper, the launch angles look pretty good. The ground ball rate isn't obscene. What I have in front of me is like 36%, 25% line drive, 28 or 29% fly ball. So more than half of his contact is going in the air. And in a line drive or a fly ball fashion, we obviously exclude pop-ups and ground balls from that number. Wow, I'm tripping over myself here, Dylan. You're going to have to save me. But I think Long is a player that in a deeper league where, you know, you got some bench spots or you got some underperforming prospects or somebody that's just really at this point not worth rostering. I think that Long, you know, in a 30-team league maybe isn't a bad play just because the underlying skills are there. And I think we'll see some of that turnaround as the Midwest League starts to warm up over the next month or so. This typically happens in May. So maybe we'll check back in a few weeks and Jonathan Long will be a guy that is performing. But thus far, the numbers haven't caught up to the underlying data. But I like what I'm seeing here. Good power numbers. I think the launch angle average is like 17 degrees. He is putting the ball in the air, as we said, and not swinging and missing in zone. And he's not chasing all that much.
Yeah, no, I definitely like it. He popped on the NCAA Statcast stuff too as well. So he got a little bit of a boost in our FYPD, I remember, as a result of that. And he just barely missed that 80% threshold there at the 79.7. That's why he didn't pop in one of those seven guys that I was mentioning. Yeah. So speaking of my guy, my next guy, who is not really performing but has the underlying, I'll do the same filters that I did, but this time in double A. 80% contact, 104 mile per hour, 90th percentile exit velocity, but in double A. There are only five who meet that threshold. There's actually seven, but two of them are like 28 and 29 years old, so I'm not counting them. So it's five that are under 28 years old. And there's only one with a chase rate better than league average. And who is that? The answer is Chase DeLauder. He met those thresholds last year as well, 80%, 90th percentile exit velocity of 104. Him and Matt Shaw were like the only two in double A of a young age to do that. Of course, yeah, he's injured. Terrible news, of course.
Same foot too. That's bad news. Yeah.
It's the same foot. I wonder if that's what maybe was, I don't know. I don't want to speculate on anything, but like, yeah, he has a 75 WRC plus. He has one home run. He has one stolen base and caught once as well in 71 plate appearances this year. Like it's not manifesting in games, what we saw in spring training. And it looked like maybe he was going to make the team possibly, or at least he's knocking down the door, has not done well. And then of course, with his injury, it's going to hurt him. But you know, if you have chased a lotter, maybe you're not happy about this injury because maybe this is going to be a chronic thing. Maybe it's going to be a foot thing that bothers him, but he still has the underlying, and there's nothing to fear, even though the results aren't there. So I guess I'm saying stiff upper lip and, stick with them and, you should be rewarded.
Yeah. I think that's a pretty good one as well. You know, not a bad call out. All right. Well, I'll jump in with my next guy then. What do we say, Dylan?
Let's do it.
All right. Though it does make me sad that you brought up DeLauder. Like you had to do that to me on air. It's neat. You know, you're getting me back for the Toronto dig at the top of the show. We're like Drake and Kendrick here on the show. We're just going back and forth. My next name is a little bit older. He's actually another 2023 draft guy. That's Jared Wagner. That is regular Jared, W-E-G-N-E-R. I know that sometimes people are like, hey, you don't necessarily say the name over and over again. So I'm going to make sure that I've spelled some of these names today because we are pulling some guys out. He was somebody that the Yankees obviously believed in because they jumped him up to high A, like almost right out of the draft. He played two games in the Complex League, three in the Florida State League, which is obviously the same place. And then, you know, 19 games up in Hudson Valley. This year they started him in Double A. He was in the Double A games in the backfield. He actually hit pretty well as well. The slash line is just okay. 246, 342, 464. He's got three home runs. But he's another guy where, you know, the data is just really interesting. And I know that he's 24. So he's an older, you know, an older player, college performer, all that sort of thing. But 107.3, 90th percentile. He's got a ball, I believe it's confirmed, that was 116.6 maybe. That was actually on the Somerset broadcast. So I'm almost positive that's confirmed. Typical Yankees hitter, sub 20% chase rate. The miss, the end zone miss is like 80%-ish, a little bit below that. The miss overall is about 72%. So there is some swing and miss for sure. But, you know, there's power. There's legit power. And there's approach here. So I think he's another guy where we're talking about deeper leagues here. I think he could be an interesting name. And maybe somebody that's, you know, kind of creeping around the back end of that Yankees top 30 come handbook time next year if he continues to perform. I think he's interesting. You know, not like a super fly ball sort of driven swing. It's a little bit flatter plane. And I think the launch angle numbers sort of bear that out. But I do think he's interesting. And if launch angle is something that needs to be fixed in a swing, the Yankees are probably the organization that you should be with. That is their calling card over the last couple of years, almost to many scouts and those around the game's chagrin. So I think you know, Wagner might be an interesting player to follow up on just because of what the power is and the approach is there. He's a little bit older, but, you know, when a guy jumps up the Double A and is performing somewhat at 24, that's not all that far behind. So we'll see where he ends up in a year or two. But he was somebody that kind of stuck out for me from a data perspective as well.
I like it. I like it. I like that we're giving high A names and Double A names where, you know, StatCast isn't really publicly available. You know, there are a lot of places online you can see how AAA StatCast is doing or the Florida sure. State League in low A, but we're giving an eye-opening insight into what's happening in high A and double A. Should I go to my next name?
Why don't we take a quick break?
Let's do it.
It's about 15, 16 minutes in. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We got even more names for you on the back end. We're not even halfway through. Hope you guys are enjoying this. We'll be back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. That's why I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America. It allows me to do everything on one website. I get quality candidates. I can schedule them. I can interview them. I can screen them. I can send messages to them, all within Indeed. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree that Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
And we're back. All right, Dylan. We teased it a little bit before we went to break. Provide us with your next name here.
Right. So I'm going to go to pitchers this time.
Woo.
I think we did the bats. At least I did. So I went in double A. I was playing with sliders and sorting and all that. So I looked at the hardest fastballs in double A. This person is the third hardest thrower in AA behind Ben Joyce and Julian Aguilar. And that's Zach Maxwell, 23-year-old for the Reds. Is that right? Yes, the Cincinnati Reds. I think he started with the Yankees or he was drafted by the Yankees originally. He has the highest IVB in AA as well. So not only does he throw third hardest at 99 and has touched 101, I think, and a half. He has the highest IVB. Last year, he threw 98 and touched 100. So he's gained a tick. His IVB was 20 last year. It's 21 this year. He's pure reliever. So, like, don't get too excited. But his slider is also 88 miles an hour. Like, he's got it's basically Ben Joyce. Huge fastball, huge slider. That's all he needs to do. He has a 53% strikeout rate right now in double A. It's he has a 13% walk rate, so I mean that just kind of reinforces that he will be a reliever. But he's throwing, you know, one inning at a time, but it looks just elite in terms of the underlying metrics. So, you know, a bullpen name, kind of a deeper name, just kind of fun with who's top in the class for IVB and velocity double A. Zach Maxwell.
Nice. I love me some Zach Maxwell. You know, relief only, but. This is going to be one of those guys where, you know, there's certain relief prospects that come through the minors where it's pretty clear, like, this guy's going to be a legit, you know, high leverage reliever that you're going to want to roster in fantasy. And I think Maxwell is one of those guys, kind of like a Munoz or someone like that come through, or, you know, even Class A, where the stuff is just so overwhelmingly good. So I think that was a great call out. Nice job there. Another guy that I saw on the Cape quite a bit. He was one of those guys that came in and, like, you know, it could have been boring for four innings before that. And then it could be, you know, 11-2 and you just lock in because Maxwell's in there and, you know, he's throwing these high IVB fastballs with, you know, obviously significant cheddar and then, you know, good breaking balls. And that's even progressed into a better slider than what he had previously had. So that's definitely an interesting one. I'm going to go with this Cubs theme here as I continue. Another guy I want to call out is Yohendrick Pinongo. So Pinongo is kind of interesting because he was sort of a hit tool guy and then sort of sold out for power, struggled a little bit. This is actually, I think, his third season at high A. But he is still pretty young. So, you know, one thing to consider there. But the EVs now are sort of matching the skills. 20% chase rate, miss rate right now is in zone contact rate above 90%. Just a touch below 91% in zone. 17.9% miss overall. Another guy where the numbers aren't, like, outstanding. They've been pretty good, actually, this year, if I'm not mistaken. 316, 443, 532. Am I not mistaken on that? Got to double check on those numbers. But overall, I think he's starting to come into his own. I know you had called out there are quite a bit of ground balls with Pinongo. But, you know, he is somebody that I think is interesting. And if I'm not mistaken, I think he's a Nate Handy favorite, like somebody that he's been calling out for a couple of years. So shout out to Nate on that one. But, yeah, I think it's starting to match for sure. And, okay. Yeah, 316, 443, 532. I was correct. He's got three home runs right now. two triples, four doubles. There's not a lot of defense here. It's left field only, you know, so he's going to have to really hit. But another deeper league name that I think is kind of interesting, and it looks like the skills and the power are sort of coming together. Get those launch angles up a little bit, start to hit the ball in the air even more. The numbers might get even better. So he's a guy that probably should see a jump to double A, I would assume, fairly soon, just based on what the performance has been. Like I said, he's been in high A for this is his third season where he spent some time in high A. So actually fourth, 2021, 22, 23, and he's back in 24. So, but still like on the younger side, you know, still only 22 years old. He turns 23 in a couple of days.
Yeah, no, I like that name. I was definitely in my league, which is, I think, 500 prospects. I put a bid in on him and in the chains, but I got actually one of the guys just ahead of him. In my priority, because I like him. So in his last 3 years, his chase rate has improved from 35% to 31%, and then 20%, like you said, this year, which is a huge jump, well better than average. So looks like he, you know, his approach seems to have taken leaps and bounds this year. So I do like him. Like I said, I even put my money where my mouth is, and then put a small bid in on him last night. All right, I'm going to stay on the pitcher side. So I'll just kind of walk through the process of what I did on this. I wanted to go high A. I took all the 20-year-olds in high A. And I noticed I sorted by IVB just to kind of see who we got. So there are six pitchers who are 20 years old in high A with an IVB over 17 inches. I'll just throw the names out. Owen Murphy, Dylan Lesko, Davey Cruz, Mitch Bratt, Carson Milbrandt, and then Alessandro Urcolani. And then looking at those six, the second lowest release point of the six and the one with the furthest extension by over a foot more extension is that Urcolani of the Pirates. So that was very interesting. I'm like, he was popping on Robo Scout. He was, I think, one of the honorable mentions in high A on yesterday's article. And so I went to double A. And I sorted by furthest extension. And the two pitchers who are 20 or 21 years old in double A with the furthest extension on their fastballs are Anthony Solometto and Bubba Chandler. So again, Pirates. So you have 20, 21-year-olds in high A and double A. And like the furthest extensions are all Pirates. So I wonder if that's something they're targeting. We know how Jared Jones has taken a huge step forward and just carving up the major leagues. We know what Paul Skeens is, but you know, there's talk how with Jones, you know, maybe there's something happening with the development that maybe wasn't there in the past. Cause you know, Garrett Cole never really got going. Tyler Glass never really got going. Mitch Keller really hasn't gotten going. But maybe there's something to it. And I looked into Bubba Chandler because I wanted to take a closer look at his stuff. And last year he was throwing 95, hitting 97 with an IVB of 18. And now he's at 97, touching 99 with an IVB of 19. And his VAA has flattened from minus 4.5 to minus 4.1. So this is the Jared Jones approach. Looks like Bubba Chandler is like next in line to take that crown. But it was really more of a talk about the Pittsburgh pitching development and how it looks like they're doing interesting things. It looks like they're targeting IVB, they're targeting extension. And when they have the raw clay, like a Bubba Chandler or Jared Jones, they're really kind of optimizing, you know, those traits of the high flat fastball and then like kind of the killer slider. So Bubba Chandler / Pittsburgh Pirates pitching is my fourth name.
I like that one as well. Sort of diving in there, things that are going on there. Raise the Jolly Rancher. It's the Jolly Roger, and I just said the Jolly Rancher. That was not cool. That was not on purpose. That was absolutely me just being an idiot. So that being said, I'm going to stick with my hitters here. I'm going to go, you know, with somebody that's been talked about quite a bit on RoboScout, and you know, I know he's got a ton of helium at this point, but I want to give my Jarrell Perez update, if I may. Numbers are still looking good. Exit 90th percentile exit velocity above 104. The end zone miss rate is close to 90%. Contact rate in zone is close to 90%. low chase rate. He's hitting the ball hard and on a consistent basis. You know, he's performing. The numbers have obviously been, you know, pretty dang good as well. I think he's hitting 300, 434, 522. And, you know, he's consistently putting the ball in the air. 55% line plus fly rate. Doesn't pop up all that much. Not a high ground ball rate. And we'll see what the other skills come together as. But I think just from a pure bat perspective, Jurel Perez looks like these guys could be moving into a lot of top 100 lists. And I think on the fantasy side, he probably already has.
Yeah, he meets that 80% contact, 104, 90% velocity threshold as well. Jesus Baez is another one that made that threshold in low A. But Jurel Perez has the much better chase rate as well, with only 22%, like you said. So basically just saying the same numbers you said, just to make it sound like I'm smart. That's my technique. All right, my last one. Because I liked how I did that Pirates dive, so I kind of did the same thing. So I looked at high A again. This time I isolated it to 20 and 21-year-olds in high A, and there are about 40 of them. And I sorted by IVB, and I noticed that number 6, number 11, and number 12 of those 20 and 21-year-olds in high A were all Orioles. Edgar Portes, Jackson Bomeister, and Moises Chassé. And then because I was already on the extension kick with Pirates, I looked at the extension, and Portes and Bomeister are third and fourth in extension. So they have the longest extension and the highest IVBs. Chassé is 11th on that extension list. So he's still in the top quartile as well. Chassé has the flattest fastball of any 20 and 21-year-old. His VAA is the flattest. So I guess what I'm trying to say is it looks like they're targeting, the Orioles are targeting certain traits and fastballs as well. High IVB, high extension, flat VAA. So it just comes up on you. You're late, you're under it. You can't you can't catch up. I kind of looked at when Portes and Chassé were signed, and they were signed in 2019. And Mike Elias and Sig Mejdal, is that how you pronounce his last name? Were hired in November 2018. So I wonder, you know, this is the first international signing period for them. I wonder if, you know, these are certain traits they're targeting. We all know how the Orioles minor league system is just crushing it right now. And like, you hear some hints into some of the things that they're targeting. And before you get too excited as well, they may have these incredible traits on the fastballs that it looks like the Orioles are targeting. But these three, Edgar Portes, Jackson Bomeister, and Moises Chassé, all have double-digit walk rates. So it's an issue of kind of harnessing that command. But they're in a high A, so there's still time, lots of time to develop. Like I said, they're 20 and 21-year-old. So I think maybe this is what they're doing. They're trying to find certain traits, and then they kind of refine them as they go up the ladder. So I guess my fifth name is the Orioles pitching in high A, what the traits they're looking for in fastballs.
Yeah, I think you might have uncovered something there just in terms of what they're looking for. Yeah, Chassé is somebody that, you know, I saw this past week against another favorite of yours, Jonah Tong, in his high A debut. It was a matinee game there in Brooklyn, so I tuned in on MLB TV and sat down and watched that one. It was a good battle going back and forth of two pretty good pitching prospects and guys that have sort of popped onto everybody's radar within the last few months. So good call out there. Last one I'm going to put out here is another player that, you know, has been – hype to the moon, I think for good reason. Unfortunately, though, he's been dealing with an injury, and that is Zaire Hope, who was acquired in the trade for Michael Busch. The Dodgers have done it again. Though I've said this a million times, I don't think the Dodgers or the Cubs are regretting this trade at this point in time. Michael Busch gets his time. He gets the Cubs get a player that they can put right in their everyday lineup. It's been pretty productive for them. And the Dodgers got two pretty good prospects that they can mold here or flip and turn into another superstar that they had to this Harlem Globetrotters type team. But the numbers, you know, are what they are. And you can see what they are on the surface level. Since we last updated, I don't think the numbers have changed at all because he hasn't played. But you know, 108, almost 109 mile per hour, 90th percentile. There's some miss, but not a lot of zone miss. And he doesn't chase all that much. So not all that concerned about the hit tool. I think there's some skills there. Even if there is some elevated swing and miss at some point, I do think that he makes good enough swing decisions that they'll all probably track pretty well. So I'm a fan of Zaire Hope. I can understand why folks are as excited as they are about him, trying to move him up boards. I think the biggest question still, though, is just the bat to ball skills and how legit is that?
Love that name. Love that name. I mean, I have a bonus name if you want me to just throw it
out
there. But then I'm out. I don't have anything off the top of my head. So it was just more I was playing with extension because I don't look too much at extension as one of the, like, it obviously contributes. It's part of the stuff plus for fastballs. Obviously, you know, like kind of the effective velocity is important. And so, you know, I kind of did a deeper dive into extension. So the pitcher with the highest extension in low A is Ben Badler talked about him earlier. Is Bishop Letson of the Brewers. Huge extension. He's got 15 inches of horizontal movement on his fastball arm side, and then 15 inches of his like slider curveball on glove side. Like, he's got a whole bunch of movement and interesting outlier traits. He already throws 93. It's not the fastest for, you know, a 19-year-old, but you know, maybe you don't want to throw too fast when you're 19 when we see these pitching injuries. And yeah, that's the thing. He's 19. So a lot of very, very interesting pitcher traits in Bishop Letson. I know Ben Badler already talked about it, but it just kind of jumped out to me when I was kind of playing with the low A.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I hope you've gotten some names in this power-packed half hour of information, some guys that you could take to the bank and, you know, potentially go out there and get in fab at a cheap rate. We'll see. See what this brings, and if some of these names with the good underlying data start to perform with the data that we're seeing underneath the hood. Dylan, anything you want to say to the people before we wrap this sucker up?
No, just I'm drowning my sorrows in the Leafs loss.
All right, we'll see how that goes. All right, anyway, thanks for tuning in. This has been the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast, and this is Jeff Ponce for Dylan White. Thanks for tuning in.
Cheers.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.